You then go back to Palmer and get him to split him up if you can.
And then Bunker and Vaughn, I'll get after tail.
Get after them and then make Palmer and the Brazilian General give you a hell of a cable as
right.
to why they think it can be done, and be sure that Mora's on board.
Right.
Be sure that Bennett agrees. And just between us now, what is your valuation of the strengths and weaknesses of Bennett? I don't know him, and since this thing's come up, we get a lot of men get under fire when they go to making decisions, and they get questioned and slandered, and I just won't get your reaction to what your personal association with him indicated.
I think basically he is a good man. I think his predilections put him pretty heavily on one side of the equation here. I think that he's completely loyal.
Unjustifiably, his predilections unjustifiably, you think?
I think unjustifiably heavy on the one side, because this fella, Imbert, is pretty much of a gangster type. On the other hand, the other side has very little to commend it. Camaño is a...
So in the beginning, though, when he got us into this thing, was he justified?
I believe he was, Mr. President, yes.
Well, that's the way I look at it. Now then, weren't we constantly harassing him and harping him to get somebody to oppose the rebels?
Yes, we were. No question about that. No question about it.
If I'd have been on the scene, wouldn't I have been doing the same thing?
I think you would, yes, Mr. President, and so would I if I'd been there.
All right, then come on up. What's his first mistake?
His first mistake? I think that he finds it hard to see any solution which would permit really any participation by the other side.
Well, that night on the phone, he got on board completely with me.
He will accept, Mr. President. As I said, he's completely loyal, and if he thinks this is what is in desired and what is in the best interest of the country, he'll go along with it, regardless of what his personal views may be.
Well, was that what he was doing? I didn't think that I was imposing this. You all called up. All of you recommended. I got you and got him on the line late that evening.
That's right.
Do you think he was doing it because he thought Mac wanted it?
I think that he felt that Mac and I wanted it, and that he certainly would accept it.
But he wasn't for it.
Well, he didn't specifically say he was against it, Mr. President, but he certainly wasn't strongly for it.
Well, now, wasn't Martin for it?
Yes.
Now, what's your evaluation of Martin? I'm thinking about using him on some things. Is he emotional?
Yes.
Too much so?
I would say yes, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. Now, what side was he on?
He leaned towards the constitutionalist side, I think, quite heavily. But he's bright, and he was trying to come up with possible variations to reach a solution there.
Well, now, he agreed, didn't he, that the commies were pretty heavily involved on that side?
Yes, I think he did, Mr. President.
I thought that that caused him to kind of stop looking, listen, and lose faith in that group.
I think it shook him some. There's no doubt about that.
Well, now, don't you think that we're going to have to really do something down there some of these days? The OAS solution doesn't look like to me it's working very well.
My feeling, Mr. President, is that we are going to have to impose a solution that they down there, the two conflicting parties, will never reach a solution among themselves. They are both dug in so deeply that they have no intention of trying to find a reasonable common ground. That the only way that one will be reached is one which is being imposed. Now, I think it would certainly be better if the OAS could come up with what would appear to the world to be a fair and reasonable solution in the center, which could then be imposed, of course, with our urging and support. But they're not going to reach a solution themselves if left to their own.
You think the OAS might?
I think they might, Mr. President. Now, Mora has been a very staunch guy down there, and he'll stand up and take the heat, and he's trying very hard to reach a solution.
Has he got any standing with OAS personally?
I think he does have some standing, Mr. President. from what I have been able to find out.
What kind of solution? You don't think it's Guzman anymore, do you?
No, I don't, Mr. President. I think we're going to have to find somebody else as the presidential candidate. And I think we've got to have a broadly based cabinet along the lines and pretty close to the lines of the one we previously had. I think also there's got to be a very prompt plebiscite on the constitutional issue and to elect a permanent president.
Same time?
Preferably at the same time or perhaps very shortly thereafter. First a plebiscite on the Constitution and then an election of a president. In the meantime, putting in a provisional government.
Well, do you think that the election of the president can wait if the Constitution is adopted to the normal time next year?
It could, Mr. President, but I would think it would be better if a choice could be made earlier than that.
All right, and what's the basic difference between 62 and 63 Constitution?
The basic difference is several fold are the differences. First of all, they removed from the 63 Constitution the provisions which dealt with a concordat between the Dominicans and the Roman Catholic Church.
That's six, they removed from the 62.
Yeah, that was in 62 and taken out in 63.
Yeah, you said they removed it from the 63. You meant 62.
62, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
This has led a number of the people down there, as it is a very strongly Roman Catholic country, to say that the 63 Constitution is an atheistic constitution.
Yeah.
In addition, they put in certain social welfare provisions which legitimized illegitimate children and did certain things in respect of property.
Yeah.
This again is interpreted as being anti-church and as the Imbert and military people would say, atheistic and pro-communist.
Yeah.
Those are the two principal areas, Mr. President, of difference between the 62 and the 63 Constitution. And the other thing that makes the Constitution emotional is the fact the 63 Constitution is clearly the Bosch Constitution.
Yeah.
That therefore raises all of the strong feelings that certain parts of the country have about Bosch.
All right, now, where is Bosch's strength, in the countryside or in the city?
It is in both places, Mr. President. I think, from what I understand down there, primarily at this point in the city area, although he has some support up in the country.
All right, now...
Mere support, on the other hand, I gather is pretty widespread throughout the country.
How would the Constitution, vote on the Constitution, go in your judgment 60 days from now?
It would go in favor of the 63 Constitution.
Would it go in favor of Bosch as against Balaguer?
I doubt that, Mr. President.
Does Balaguer have some strength in the country?
Yes, he does.
Why? What's he done for it that gives him strength?
He, even though associated in a sense with Trujillo, administered things in a workmanlike fashion, and I think he is remembered as such. A lot of the people down there are just sick and tired of corruption, of strife, and they'd like something to get them back on the track again.
Is he regarded in the liberal community as Trujillo's successor?
I think, in a sense, yes, Mr. President.
Doesn't that make it a little dangerous for us?
Yes, on the other hand, if the people select him, then there can't, I think, be any real criticism on that.
But he wouldn't be the one to go in on a provisional government.
No, I don't think he would be the one, nor would he be the one that would want to, Mr. President.
I know that. Who are the best candidates we have for the president, then?
Frankly, there are no good ones at this point, Mr. President. They are combing the list to try and find somebody, but there just aren't any leaders there. You're probably going to have to pick a weak man, or a no better than a moderately strong man, on which there could be some sort of agreement because he is not a strong man.
Well,
now, this Santiago group, the businessmen from up in that area, have talked about the need, and I think perhaps you may have seen one of the cables.
Yes, I've seen them.
And they're trying to find somebody in the center that would be acceptable to both sides, or at least not strongly opposed by either side.
Don't we have some investment there that has produced some sales manager, vice president, or something that that's still a local man that didn't get too identified with him, but down underneath.
A local Dominican?
Yeah.
I don't know that, Mr. President. We have Alcoa down there. We have some of the sugar companies down there.
Looks like we ought to take our companies there and see if they don't have somewhere somebody that's not too tied to them. It's not their president and not one of their top men, but just got a job that has some potentiality.
Let me see what we can find.
Take your big companies and put one of your best men to talking to them, and not for the standpoint of a president, but getting one of the best men they have lined up for you for some special work, and let's see who they come up with.
All right, fine. Will do, Mr. President.
All right, you get back in touch with me later in the day on this.
I will indeed. Yes, sir. Indeed.